This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. And we'll take a look at your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade from the close on Wednesday. Everything finished lower yesterday ahead of the anticipation of the USDA Crop Progress Report that'll be released later this morning. Jumping right into yesterday's grain futures, September corn fell a quarter cent to 348 and a quarter. December corn fell a penny and a half to 360. March corn fell two and a quarter to 372 and a quarter. Soybeans for September fell five and a quarter to 854. November beans fell five and a half to 866 and a half. January beans fell five and a quarter to 880 and a half on Wednesday. Chicago wheat for September's contract lost 7 cents to 477 and a half. December wheat lost four and three quarters to 477 and a half. March wheat fell three and a half to 484. Moving on to soybean meal, September's contract lost 330 yesterday to 289.60. October bean meal also lost 330 to 291 even. December bean meal lost 340 to 294.70. Finally, soybean oil had gains yesterday. September gained 35 cents to 28.73. October bean oil gained 30 to 28.65. December bean oil also gained 30 to 28.83. Now to recap Wednesday's closing grain futures, corn was steady to down 2, soybeans were down 5 to 6, wheat was down 3 to 7, soybean meal was down 330 to 340, soybean oil gained 30 to 35 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The land cut grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon with concerns over tomorrow's USDA crop report weighing on grain values today. In northern West Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 2 cents at 314 to 355. Soy bids are mostly 5 cents lower at 785 to 811. In central Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids mostly 1 to 2 cents lower at 335 to 358. Soy bids are 1 to 4 lower at 798 to 846. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 2 cents at 304 to 378, while soybean bids were 5 cents lower at 784 to 827. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 9 cents lower at 822 to 854. Basis is mixed at 4500 to 1300 of the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 277 to 294 a ton. Down $3.30 a ton, with basis steady at 14 under to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 360 to 365, with basis unchanged at option to 17 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids mixed at 335 to 358. Basis was mixed at 25 under to 2 under the December. Soybeans ended up 2 to 5 cents. At 817 to 820, wheat basis up 1 to 4 at 50 under to 47 under the November. Wheat prices were down 5 cents at 438 to 448, wheat basis steady at 40 under to 30 under the December. East St. Louis barge loading terminals place their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at 348 to 349. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 2 to 5 cents, quotations at 827 to 832. Soft wheat closed down 4 cents at 479 to 480. Milo ended the day 2 cents lower at 339 to 340. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 316 to 350. Soybeans at 790 to 827. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 333 to 364 and soybeans at 798 to 851. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 305 to 372. Soybeans at 783 to 839. And June-July wheat at 457 to 487. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to Wednesday's closing livestock numbers, live cattle and feeder cattle were higher. Lean hogs finished lower. Live cattle for October were $2.35 higher to $98.50. December live cattle were up $2.40 yesterday to $103.62. February live cattle gained $1.75 to $110.17. Feeder cattle for September gained $2.17 to $136.07. October feeders gained $2.97 to $134.02. November feeders gained $2.85 to $133.55. Finally, lean hogs for October lost $2.55 yesterday to $60.17. December lean hogs lost 57 cents to $61.20. February lean hogs were down $1.55 to $67.60. So to recap your closing livestock futures from Wednesday, live cattle gained $1.75 to $2.40. Feeder cattle gained $2.17 to $2.97. Lean hogs lost 57 to $2.55. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.50 lower in a range of 44 to 54 with a weighted average carcass price of $47.27. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were weak, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $19 to $23, 4 to 5 weight at $21 to $25, 5 to 6 weight at $23 to $27, over 600 pounds at $25 to $29. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at the country buying points were 1 to 3 lower, with light demand for moderate offerings ranging from $26 to $35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts have totaled $22,605. In the Direct Cattle Trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $99 to $102, on a dressed basis at $157 to $160, heifers on a live basis traded at $99 to $100 and on a dressed basis at $159. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 314 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.45, which was 46 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $219.89, which was $5.49 lower. Select carcasses at $198.40, which was $2.58 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000 compared to 117,000 for last week and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 487,000 compared to 485,000 last week and 410,000 1 year ago. A recap of the Fairview Sale Barn for Tuesday, September 10th, 558 total receipts. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and slaughter heifers sold sharply lower, with steers 575 lower and heifers 625 lower. Slaughter cows sold mixed. Slaughter bulls sold $2 lower. Choice steers ranged 97 to 104.50. Choice heifers 96 to 103.50. Breaker cows were at 56 to $66, boner cows 54.50 to $64.50, lean cows 45 to 55, bulls 74.50 to $84.50. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Thursday morning. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Thursday morning, congressional ratification of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA, is quickly slipping from September into October, and maybe even later. Nothing tells the truth like the clock. It's already mid-September, with just days left on the House legislative calendar this month, and no sign of a deal on the USMCA table, though proposals are being exchanged between Democrats and the White House. But frustration has been building on the GOP side. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on CNBC had this to say recently.
We've been in good faith talks for more than 8 months on this. I mean, we should have had this done before we departed. I thought Lighthizer has done a tremendous job from the administration point of view with the speaker answering all the different questions.
U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer answered some of those in questioning by Ohio Senator and former USTR Rob Porter before the congressional recess.
Well, the environmental and labor standards are essentially non-existent in the current NAFTA, and they are quite robust, the most robust we've ever had in
the
U.S.
Most ever, any trade agreement we've ever done.
That's correct.
How about expansion of agricultural products? Is it better for American farmers under the status quo NAFTA or better under the USMCA, the new agreement?
No, the USMCA is substantially better. There are egg and poultry improvements. There are dairy improvements. There are wheat improvements. There are SPS improvements.
But Speaker Pelosi, who decides if the USMCA comes to the House floor, has downplayed the improvements and insisted on more, denying that delays are aimed at hurting President Trump's reelection chances. House GOP leader McCarthy insists that the bill is good enough.
Mexico has already ratified this by voting on it. Canada is waiting for us to act. They've got an election coming up in November. Now is the perfect window in September to get it done.
Ag groups that have been lobbying for months are practically screaming for Congress to pass the USMCA. They're yelling again at a rally in Washington this week to try to push the key deal for farm exports across the finish line. In other trade news from around the world, China this week announced tariff exemptions for 16 U.S. products, but not for top agricultural commodities. China's Minister of Finance says the exemptions will apply to some anti-cancer drugs and lubricants, as well as animal feed ingredients of whey and fish meal. China says the exemptions are an effort to remove tariffs on products not easily sourced from other countries other than the United States. The exemptions are only valid for a year, expiring in September of 2020, and 12 products on the list are eligible for tariff refunds. The exemption do include the products used in piglet feed, difficult to source in large volumes from elsewhere. The exemptions do not include U.S. pork or soybeans, two commodities China has targeted in retaliation to the U.S. tariffs. Some analysts view the move as a friendly gesture, but do not see it as a signal that both sides are readying a deal, according to Reuters. The U.S. and China are set to meet next month in Washington to continue high-level trade talks. In other national news, the Department of Agriculture recently opened enrollment for the Agriculture Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage Safety Net programs, known as ARC and PLC. John Newton, American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist, says the 2018 Farm Bill made important improvements to those programs.
Most notable of which is changes in the reference price under PLC and then some yield adjustments on ARC County. So now farmers need to crunch the numbers, and they have an opportunity to visit with their FSA office to sign up for this crop year and next crop year on ARC and PLC on a commodity-by-commodity basis.
Newton says there are differences between the two programs that farmers must consider.
PLC is a price-based safety net that provides support to a farmer whenever the marketing year average price for the commodity falls below the reference price. And ARC County is a revenue-based safety net program. Protection is based on the five-year average of the farmer's county revenue and the marketing year average price. So we look at both prices and revenue under ARC County and prices only under PLC.
Producers have until March of 2020 to make a decision for the next crop year. Newton says several tools are available to help.
Several universities have USDA-sponsored decision tools, one at the University of Illinois and one developed by Texas A&M. So farmers can use either of those decision tools. We'll also crunch some numbers here at Farm Bureau to help farmers make that ARC and PLC decision.
Again, that was AFBF Chief Economist John Newton. Moving on into more crop news, will this month's new round of USDA crop forecast cause as big of a stir as it did last month? We'll know that soon. Gary Crawford has this report from the USDA.
We are just hours away now from the new round of USDA crop forecasts, and after last month's huge corn acreage and production estimates that shocked markets, what's in store this time?
Just like everyone, we don't know what to expect.
Mark Jekanowski is acting chairman of USDA's Outlook Board. He says this month, the USDA Statistics Service will be doing its first of the season actual measurements of crops on thousands of plots of land that could give some clues on crop yields. But with crop development for corn and beans so behind normal, those clues may be very tentative. Jekanowski's group will be issuing new demand and price projections. That's very difficult for the last couple of weeks for corn, for an example.
The market has been keying in their expectations for improved yields because of weather, and then crop progress report deflated that outlook a little bit.
An inflated price prospect with an unexpected 3% drop in the amount of corn reported in good to excellent shape, demonstrating yet again.
There's been a ton of volatility this year, maybe more than most,
making things very hard to project. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
With Farm Safety Week next week and harvest right around the corner, it's time to start thinking about farm safety, especially with grain. And with last year's carryover still occupying many grain bins in the Midwest and the conditions of some of that crop, Purdue Ag and Biological Engineering Professor and Field Safety Specialist Bill Field is cautioning that the potential for grain entrapment is very high this year.
We've had four people entrapped in soybeans, which is fairly rare for us, and it's from last year's soybeans that were put in out of condition or too wet, and now they're having a devil of a time to get them back out of storage.
Those incidents included farmers going into the bin to break up some of the grain with various objects, one being a pickaxe. Field said many are trying to make room to mix this year's grain with last year's, and it's leading farmers to take some risks. While it may be too late for last year's crop already in the bin, Field says don't make that same mistake with this year's crop at harvest.
We're really trying to emphasize that the best way to prevent entrapments in grain is not to have a great rescue team in place, but rather to have good grain going into storage. So everything needs to be dried down. We can't store for very long at anything above 14-15%. And any attempts above that for any length of time increases the likelihood of it going out of condition. And then people are going to have to fight with it to get it out later.
Field knows farmers are looking for efficient and fast ways of getting things done at harvest time. However, especially this year with all of the late planting, he recommends this.
Let's be a little patient this fall. We're going to hopefully have a lot of sunshine. We still got some growing time left. It's to wait as long as possible before you put that grain into storage.
Again, that was Bill Field, who teaches ag safety and emergency management for agriculture at Purdue University. In other national news, hemp farmers are worried about losses because of a lack of processing equipment. Delta Separations, a manufacturer of hemp processing equipment, claims the holdup is because U.S. banks won't make loans for processing equipment. The company's CEO says banks are scared that the FDIC will penalize them for supporting anyone that has the word cannabis in their supply chain. Because of this, the company claims farmers fear that $7.5 billion of hemp will be rotten in the field this fall. The U.S. lacks roughly 90% of the processing capacity needed for hemp. Hemp represents a potential $8.5 billion market, according to the company, which says much of the potential is contributed to CBD oil. CBD is one of the fastest-growing consumer product segments, as 128,000 acres of hemp were planted this year, which is a 300% increase now that hemp cultivation is legal. The 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp for production, and the Department of Agriculture is working on guidance for hemp production and processing, which is due out later this year. And moving on to a state story about hemp, farmers who have considered growing hemp as a cash crop but are unaware of the best practices have an opportunity to learn from someone who's been at it for a few years now. There will be a CBD Hemp Field Day at American Hemp Research in Roseville, which is just north of Macomb, and CEO Andy Houston says that his company's objective is to assist farmers with getting started within hemp production.
So what we're trying to figure out is at what populations we need to plant the hemp at, what type of tillage practices work good with the hemp, what fertilities are best to do with the hemp. So what we'd like to do is supply farmers with the seeds and seedlings and clones on good genetics hemp, and then assist them with giving them the information that they'll need in order to produce the hemp.
He says that the hemp field day will help interested parties get a better understanding of how producers could benefit from a crop that he says could be huge for rural America.
It helps for people to come out and actually see the plants and get a good understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it the way we do it, and the benefits that can come out of this crop for rural America, I think, is going to be huge.
The field day is a collaboration between the U of I Extension and Houston's company. Also speaking at the field day will be Extension educator Philip Alberti, who also talks about the potential new cash crop for producers in Illinois. Moving on to other state ag news, if you're hoping for a fall harvest of things like lettuce, kale, spinach, and other leafy greens, now's the time to throw those into the ground. If you act quickly enough, you could get a fast turnaround and a decent harvest during the fall months. Master Gardener at the U of I Extension Office, Candace Hart, says you can also throw some root crops into the mix as well.
There's definitely some of those cooler season vegetables that you can be swapping in right now. Definitely any of the like leafy greens are going to grow quick for you and get a quick fall crop. So lettuce, Swiss chard, spinach, kale, things like that are great ones to put in. If you buy, so it'd be too late to start your own transplants, but if you go to the garden center and grab some transplants of like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, those type of things would be great this time of year. And then you could get some of the root crops in still too. So do another batch of carrots or beets or onions, things like that. There's definitely options. If things are petering out, you're ready to bring some new stuff into the vegetable garden, you definitely can.
According to Hart, advanced gardeners will create a greenhouse effect and extend the life of their garden. Otherwise, things are at the mercy of the first fall hard freeze.
The hardiest things are going to be like your leafy green. So some people will actually, they'll do several kind of fall plantings of lettuce, kale, things like that. And then they'll put up kind of almost kind of a mini greenhouse. They'll put a little, they'll put kind of some arches over the garden and put some cloth over those beds. And if you do that, you can really kind of extend the harvest into December, maybe even January, depending on what the weather's going to be like. So there's a couple things, but most of the time, once we get that frost, usually in October, most things are about done.
And if you had to bring any trees down this summer, or if you're looking to add trees to your property, Hart says this is also a very good time to get those into the ground as well. Moving on now into local ag news, this weekend is another busy one around the area. The U of I Extension will be hosting a succulent wreath workshop on Monday. If you've ever wondered how to use succulents in a creative way, this class is for you. U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger will guide you as you create your own wreath with a mix of succulents that you can enjoy throughout the holidays. This program will meet at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro from 5 to 6:30 next Monday. The cost for the program is $20 and will include all materials to create a wreath to take home. Advanced registration for the program is required by tomorrow, however, by visiting the website go.illinois.edu/cjmm or calling the Montgomery County Extension Office at 217-532-3941. Other events coming up this weekend is the Staunton FFA alumni sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride on Saturday. Registration will begin Saturday morning at 7. Coffee, juice, water, and donuts will be available. The ride will then leave at 8 after a quick driver's meeting and an opening ceremony. The ride will then make a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be put on display and lunch can be purchased. Orders for lunch will be taken at registration that morning, so it will be ready upon your arrival. Passengers are also told to not ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. You may not ride on any of the fender mounts. And if you have any questions for this year's Staunton FFA Alumni Tractor Drive, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435 or Alumni Chapter Reporter Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. Also happening this weekend, on Sunday, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding 4-H shooting sports, including archery and air rifles, from 1 to 3 on Sunday afternoon at the 4-H Park in Butler. And in local events coming up in the coming weeks, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, will be the 2019 Purina Checkerboard Days Customer Appreciation Event at Hamel Co-op. With more information on this year's Customer Appreciation Event, I talk with General Manager of the Hamel Co-op, Amy Rozier.
Our Checkerboard Days, like you said, Purina is celebrating 125-year anniversary, and to be part of that, we are going to celebrate with them. We have some in-store sales those days. We're going to have some discounts on our Laena products. You can buy two bags, get one free. Our Purina mineral tubs are going to have a discount on them. Our Equine Senior and Strategy products are all going to be discounted. Buy so many bags, get one free. And then some in-store products like Leaning Tree gift cards, cookbooks, beekeeping supplies, pet toys, and we have kids' toys and gifts on sale too. So we're excited about that. We have a few in-store drawings. Our grand prize is a iRobot Roomba, which I think every person could appreciate. They're wonderful things. We're kind of gearing up, celebrating Purina's 125th anniversary, because next year we actually celebrate our 100-year anniversary here at Hamel Co-op. So we're excited about that as well.
And also you'll have a in-store expert on some of these products that Purina has as well that I see.
Yes, on Friday, our Purina rep, David Williams, is going to be in store here, and we're going to set up appointments if anyone wants to have a one-on-one consultation. This is kind of different from whenever we go out and do our on-farm calls. Some people have busy work schedules, and they can't make on-farm calls, so we kind of do an in-store day once a year so people that have schedules can arrange something that works for them.
And again, we're talking with Amy Rozier with Hamel Co-op, and this Appreciation Days will be going on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, so we're just about a week away from that.
Yep, you can stop by and see us. We're going to have, there's no purchase necessary to enter our drawings. We're going to have some other stuff like in-store gift cards and some other items that our companies that we work with have donated, so we're going to be drawing for a bunch of different things. We're going to have donuts and kind of ice in the morning and ice cream in the afternoon. So stop by, grab a cool treat or a tasty donut, and see what we have to offer.
And again, that was Amy Rozier, General Manager of the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. And if you'd like to attend their Appreciation Days, which will be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 19th, 20th, and 21st, you can visit the Hamel Co-op at the corner of Old Route 66 and State Route 140 in Hamel. And that just about wraps it up for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So for this Thursday morning, September 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.